Friday, the 30th of October, 2020, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from an undisclosed location somewhere on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. On the program today, yes, we're still dealing with the COVID, with the virus, with the lockdown. Well, it's not really lockdown. Things are opening up nicely. Certainly a lot better than they are down south. And even though there is a bit of a spike in cases, you know, things are actually pretty well under control. And to prove that, the theater community is starting to open things up. There are productions going on. There have been productions going on for the last couple of months. And people just aren't going out. So today we're going to tell you about everything we know about that's going on in theater in town this weekend. And you can be sure that they're doing everything they can to keep you safe while you're in the theater. So, on that note, it's the Radio for Shut-Ins version of Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music. And it starts right now. Don't touch that dial.
Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents.
It is so dreadful to be poor.
I don't think it's fair for some girls to have plenty of pretty things and other girls nothing at all.
We've got father and mother and each other.
We haven't got father and shall not have him for a long time.
You know, mother proposed not having any presents this Christmas because it's going to be a hard winter for everyone. She thinks we ought not to spend money for pleasure when our men are suffering so in the army. We can make our little sacrifices and ought to do it gladly. But I'm afraid I don't.
I don't think the little we should spend would do any good. Oh, I'm dying to go and fight with Papa. But I can only stay at home and knit like a pokey old woman. I can't get over my disappointment in not being a boy.
At least you don't have to go to school with impertinent girls who laugh at your dresses and label your father if he isn't rich and insult you when your nose isn't nice.
If you mean libel, I'd say so, and not talk about labels as if Papa was a pickle bottle.
I know what I mean, and you needn't be so satirical about it. It's proper to use good words and improve your vocabulary.
Don't peck at one another. You girls don't remember what it was like to have money when Joe and I were little. How happy we could be if we had no worries.
All right, that was a scene from Little Women, an audio adaptation of the Louisa May Alcott novel, produced by Joelle and Shelby Waminga from Far From the Tree Productions. Now, if you're not familiar with Little Women, it's a classic piece of young adult fiction. It was written in 1868. It tells the story of the four March sisters as they reach maturity in the waning days of the American Civil War. It's been made into a movie several times, most recently last year, the one directed by Greta Gerwig. And now, the Waminga sisters, along with their friends and partners, are using it to explore another classic medium, the audio play. So to talk about it, I recently met with Joelle and Shelby over Zoom. Tell me about March, when the lockdown happened. Were you guys working on anything?
Oh, woof. That was such a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you from my side, my wife's a stage manager to the arts club. They were in the middle of rehearsal, and they were just about to move into tech.
Yeah.
I think they had actually moved into the theater, and then they got shut down. And I was about to do a play with Western Gold. And just before our first rehearsal, we got shut down. So, you know, everyone's got their story about where they were.
Yeah, I was just about to open a show as well. I was doing a show called Consensual with Cookies and Cream Collective. And we had about a week where we were kind of doing a bit of, what's going to happen? And then we all got an email one day to come into rehearsal as normal, but to be prepared to not work. And we just sat down and had a meeting, and it was announced that we were going to be postponing the show, which has been further postponed until next November.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. What about you, Joelle?
Well, Shelby and I were working on co-producing a production of Mary's Wedding that was supposed to be happening in June, I think it was. So it wasn't, we hadn't started rehearsals yet or anything. We were just in the preliminary stages of meetings and design meetings, that kind of thing. So that was canceled and has been postponed until the new year. So that's, yeah, we were working on that. I was also part of the Rydus Youth Internship at Bard on the Beach this summer. And so I was really concerned that that was just going to be canceled. But luckily, we were able to adapt that program so that we just did everything on Zoom. And we put together a little showcase at the end, which was which is on YouTube. And it was just all over Zoom. So it was a very different experience for sure.
Yeah. Did you see the videos that... that Max did, Max Forsythe. He did a thing called I think it was called Bard Beyond the Beach or something like that. And he went around town and did kind of little historical stories about the city, but connected to Shakespeare and theater and Bard. And, yeah, he did a really good job on that.
It's been really cool seeing how different actors have adapted to this new, or new different artists have adapted to this new weird world that we're living in, for sure.
I know. You know, we always find a way.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when did the idea of Little Women come to you?
Well, I've loved this story ever since I like read it as a kid. And I've read it multiple times throughout my life. And I originally had, I wanted to make a stage adaptation of it. And I'm still planning to do that once we can go back to doing things on the stage. And Shelby and I had talked about what our stage adaptation would look like. And we kind of were spitballing ideas back and forth. And then in the midst of COVID, you know, we were both sitting at home. I was sitting at home doing absolutely nothing. And we had the idea, Shelby came to me and kind of said like, how would you feel about adapting it to be an audio play? It's time we do something. And we have this project that we're both really passionate about. What if we did it as an audio play and then potentially later on in Far From the Trees' career, we can kind of adapt that same script into a stage version. So that's kind of where it started. And then it was a lot of me sitting in my bedroom scribbling and rereading the book and writing notes and making the adaptation so that we could adapt it and create this little audio play.
Had you ever done anything in that medium before? Anything for radio or audio?
Well, we had just done, so our alma mater, I guess is that's the right way to put it. We went to Trinity Western University and they have a 24-hour theater thing that they do every year. And this year they did it all as audio plays. And we were doing nothing at that time of year. So as alum, we were like, we can act for you. So both of us ended up in these so both of us ended up in these short little radio plays that got put on, like written and put on within the space of 24 hours. And that, for me, that was actually where we kind of came up with the idea is I have always loved voice acting and it's a really hard thing to kind of break into. I've always been really curious about it. So having that little taste in that context was a lot of fun. And I was like, oh, we could do something really cool with this because we have the time and we have more than 24 hours to put something together. So that was, for the most part, all that any of either of us have done in this particular kind of way. And it's working in COVID is so different as well. So a lot of the process has been figuring out a different, I guess, system of how we're going to do it and having the grace to try and fail and figure out, like, okay, so what... what video platform is going to work for everybody? What, like, is it going to work best to have everybody, like, sending in separate recordings? Or is it going to be really good to have everybody kind of record off of Zoom? What are we going to do? And then figuring out how to get everybody the equipment that they needed. It was just, it was a lot, but it was way worth it.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, is just the performance element of it. You know, if you look at things like animation, a lot of times actors in animation are working solo. They're just reading their lines onto the page, and then the editors and the animators put it all together. But for radio, it's a much more of an ensemble experience. So how were you able to make that work?
What we ended up doing is kind of synthesize so many different things. We did essentially what we're doing with you right now, where we were chatting over Zoom, and we would have all of our actors there. They'd have their own mic set up. We made sure that everybody, my husband works in sound, so we have a fair few mics hanging around. So we just kind of drove everybody some sound equipment so that they could record good quality stuff. But then we also had one actor who is in Calgary, which was Zach, who you met back in December last year. And then we had Charlotte, who lives in Australia. And so we would have all of us on the Zoom call with our separate mic setups with like GarageBand going on all of our computers. Yeah. And each person would be able to respond to each other off of Zoom with their headphones in. But then they'd be recording their own sound and then everybody would send it to us so we can put it together. So it's, yeah, it was quite a process. my poor husband has been editing for what feels like years. And we love him for it.
But, yes, this a big yeah. shout out to Tyler, the unsung hero.
Oh my gosh. Actually, like this, there is no way that we could have done this without him. Like
no, not at all.
His hours and hours and hours of work putting these like crazy strings of text together. And so, yeah, we'd get everybody together over Zoom and I directed it, which is a weird thing. I would never attempt to direct something on stage that I was also acting in, but it's a little bit different when you can hear everything back. Mm-hmm. So I would lead us in some table work and we would have a little discussion about whatever scene we were working on. And then we would actually just record the scene right then and there. So it was in a lot of ways more like working on film where you've got one pass, do several takes. Some of the scenes we got like first take done. Some of them took like five or six. And then as we've edited, we've pieced together the best bits that we found. So,
yeah, I actually kind of want to have Tyler here for the conversation because I want to ask about some of the other editing elements like sound and music and, you know, the things that make it a radio play.
Yeah, I asked him, but he's very shy. He needs to stay in the studio.
Well, what can you tell me about it? You know, like, did you do some Foley work or was it all pre-recorded or?
Ooh, yes. Yeah, so he's done a combination of he's sourced some of the sounds online because there's a lot of different really good sound libraries where you can find the ambient stuff, and he's also got a little Zoom recorder that he kind of can go out into the world with and record random
and
sounds there.
Some sound, yeah.
So one of my favorite Foley stories from this process though is I work for a kids events company, so I do like princess and superhero parties. Actually. The owner of the company, Kirsty, is the one who plays Meg in our adaptation. So I had one of the dresses at home one day and I just put it on and I just twirled around my apartment and had him record me like shuffling around in this silk ball gown so that we could have sound for all of those times when the girls are in these big dresses and having to wander around. So I just put this dress on. We had a couple of bits where there's like a corset tightening, and so we just actually had the recorder set up and I just had him pulling the strings of the corset as I kind of like breathed in and then like the sound of my little high heels clomping around on our floor. It was
you're reliving the early days of radio. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it was a trip. It was great. Yeah,
no kidding. So let's talk about the production itself. Now, you're releasing it kind of as in a podcast format, but in chapters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how's that going to happen?
Yeah. So what we've done is we've split it up into six different parts. We figured instead of releasing it in a full like 3 hour long audio play, it's just a little bit more manageable to listen to it in little 30-minute chunks. So we have six different parts and we're going to be releasing it on Saturdays starting on November 14th and then every Saturday after that. And the last episode will be released on December 19th. And then they'll be available all the time then, and yeah. They'll be on all of the different podcasting platforms. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anything like that. And we're also going to be releasing...
Or as they say now, get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get your podcasts, exactly.
That's the wording. I'm trying to think of that.
We're also going to be releasing it on YouTube. And we've had the absolute pleasure of working with a dear friend of mine who's done a lot of artwork and illustrations. Her name's Uliana. She's done all these beautiful watercolor illustrations for us. And so when we release it on YouTube, I'm going to be making a little slideshow of all her artwork so that you can see it as you listen.
Yeah, we've had a couple of the pieces that you attached to the press release. They're beautiful.
They're stunning. Yeah. We had Uliana's done most of our artwork, and then we've had a couple of other artists who've contributed. So it's a really cool wave that we've been able to integrate the performing element of it with the visual art aspect of it. So we've had one piece by Darby Ahrens, and we had one that Joelle did. And then we've also had one from Rose McNeil. I think she's going to send us another one as well.
Yeah, she's sending us another one.
And Rose McNeil was in Caribou Magi as our Fanny Dubot. And she also plays one of the ensemble members in the show. So it's a big family project.
It is.
Great. That's how it works. Well, I'm excited to hear it. I can't wait. It sounds like you put a lot of work into it, and time to reap the rewards. So once again, get it wherever you get your podcasts. It's Little Women by Louisa May Alcott and produced by Far From the Tree Productions. Joelle and Shelby, thank you so much for sharing some time and telling us all about it.
Perfect. Thank you so much
for having us.
Great, thank you. Far From the Tree's audio production of Little Women by Louisa May Alcott features Shelby Wyminga, Joelle Wyminga, Zach Running Coyote, Carrie Norris, Christy Provan, Charlotte Denton, Matthew Simons, John Voth, Marilyn Camo, Rose McNeil, Stephen Elchison, Annie Ramsey, and Jenea Barker, with sound design, editing, and original music by Tyler Demoulian. It will be available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and all the other podcasting platforms, or as I like to say in my broadcaster voice, wherever you get your podcasts. It starts November 14th, with new episodes released every Saturday until the 19th of December.
Take a plane to London with a boy who's like a brother. We'll go to the zoos and parks. We'll drink coffee at the business folks of the pub. Sleep in two beds the same size. Dream of each other's future lives. All the brick and shiny buses.
Last week, we told you about Veda Hilly's new show, Little Volcano, presented as a live stream from the Culture Historic. We were able to view it in our home, and thanks to Lisa at the Cult for arranging for that for us. I loved it. I've been a fan of Veda since the early 90s when she and her excellent band, The Excellent Band, were regular performers at the Railway Club. And it was a real treat to see how she has grown and matured as an artist and a person. It was a musical treat, too, and a nice piece of theater as well, as Veda told us about her life through song and story. Now, the whole thing was originally devised in collaboration with Theater Replacement as a touring show. And, of course, that's not going to happen right now. But hopefully, once we're allowed to tour again, we'll be able to see it live. Until then, we can enjoy the album of the show in its digital or vinyl form. She's got it pressed in gold vinyl. And you can find all about that and more by going to VedaHilly.com.
Here is the bird that never flew. Here is the tree that never grew. Here is the bell that never rang. Here is the fish that never swam. Here is the lock that never gave. Here is conviction never caved. Here are the bridges never burned. Here is the woman never returned. The coin never spent. Here is the message never sent. Here is the specimen never discarded. Here are the doctors broken hearted. Here is the action never taken. Here is resolve never shaken. Here is the watch that was never wound. Here is the guard never down. Here is the flower that never blossomed. Here are the foxes, we never saw them. Here is the blood that was never cold. Here are the words unsaid. Swallowed. Here is the field never plowed. Here is the want never allowed. Here is the pen that was never dry. And here, and here, and close, and wide. And on, the fallen fruit. Forgotten song.
You reminded me about what the most important thing in life is. Do you know what I think it is? Friends.
Here at CITR, friends are really important to us, and when you become a member at CITR, our friends are your friends. So join CITR today and get discounts at The Australian Boot Company, Devil May Wear, East Vanity Parlor, The Bike Kitchen, Virtuous Pie UBC, and Save On Meats. And those are but a few. For more information and a complete list, visit citr.ca/friends. Okay, so I don't know why I did like an elf voice.
The Fire Hall Arts Center and Vancouver Moving Theater present In the Beginning, a Cultural Sharing. It's part of the 2020 Downtown Eastside Heart of the City Festival. This project began as an exploration of the history of the neighborhood surrounding the Fire Hall Arts Center. Drawing on materials collected from a wide number of different sources, they explored the neighborhood through reference materials and found information on the many different cultural communities who lived and worked there and contributed to the rich history of the neighborhood, as well as to the city of Vancouver. But during this project, they kept coming back to the question of where are the Indigenous voices in this history? So they began the process of seeking out those who could help reveal and unwrap the stories of those who lived in that area prior to contact, colonization, and settlement. This and the hope to create a greater understanding is what In the Beginning, a Cultural Sharing is all about. It's happening at the Fire Hall Arts Center, 280 East Cordova Street, November 4th to the 7th. You can get tickets online at firehallartcenter.ca, or you can phone their box office at 689-0926. That's a 604 number, by the way. And if you want more information about the Heart of the City Festival, you can go to heartofthecityfestival.com. Tickets are now on sale for round three of the Staggered Fringe Festival, October 29th to November 8th, playing at Performance Works. Some of the details, the plays are, first of all, Alan Bound's Beirut. The second show is called Digital Fractures Voices, produced by Theatre Terrific. Then we've got Irreparable Harm, The Tale of the Trans Mountain Resistance. This is by Mary Beam. And finally, Daniel McLeod's Trudomania the Musical, a fast and furious musical trip through the life of former Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau. All shows are at Performance Works from October 29th to November 8th, and you can get all the information by going to vancouverfringe.com.
I'm
Now, a few months ago, we told you about a call for submissions from Real Wheels Theater to find a playwright living with a disability to become their new artist in residence. The successful candidate for that was Kirsten Kirsch, originally from Toronto, and they're now ready to present her first work. It's called Gympie, a new musical, and it's going to be presented as a virtual reading on the 25th of November. Gympie, a new musical, follows Soren, a young woman with a disability living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who dreams of becoming a Broadway star. Despite her talent, the theater world isn't really ready to risk casting a person with a disability. Meanwhile, her father, the fictional mayor of Tulsa, insists she follow a more practical career path. Soren meets a musician who recognizes her songwriting talent, and she discovers a different route to her dreams of being a performing artist, helping out her beloved town along the way. Now, in addition to writing this play, Kirsten Kirsch is also playing the lead role, along with actors Sean MacDonald, Crystal Dos Santos, and Mason Temple. And it's all directed by Rena Cohen. It happens on the 25th of November, and you can find out more information by going to realwheels.ca.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center for ants!
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Visit CITR.ca.
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least... 3 times bigger than this!
Anybody here searching for a sign? Anybody wanna feel alive?
United Players is ready for their second show of the season. It's The Red Priest, Eight Ways to Say Goodbye by Mieko Oishi. It's the story of a woman trapped in a loveless and abusive marriage. She's forced by her husband, a rich courtier of Louis XV, Louis XV, if you want, to take violin lessons from an aging and desperate Italian composer who just happens to be Antonio Vivaldi. It's 20 years since the Four Seasons, and he now earns money being a paid entertainer for the wealthy of Europe, staying at their homes, playing concerts of his greatest hits for their guests, and composing personal pieces for his patron. His task, within 6 weeks, get her into shape to play a concerto for the court in Paris. All for a bet. Sounds a bit like Pygmalion. Anyway, The Red Priest stars Tracy Jennison as the woman, Steve James, friend of the show, as Vivaldi, and Giselle Rocha is the violinist. It's directed by Kelty Forsyth. The assistant director is our friend Melissa Wee, and the movement director is another friend of the show, Kayla Dunbar. The whole thing happens at the Jericho Arts Center from the 13th to the 6th of December, and it's also available for online viewing. And as we can't emphasize enough that, as with other shows in town, all COVID safety protocols are in place at the Jericho Arts Center. If you want to find out more details, you can go to unitedplayers.com.
Thank you.
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. United Players are holding auditions for the North American premiere of She Sells Seashells. There, I got it. By Helen Eastman. Directed by Sarah Rogers, another friend of the show. It's going to be performed in January at the Jericho Arts Center, and they're looking for 3 non-union actors, 2 female and 1 male. Ages ranges approximately 25 to 40, and you do need to handle some British accents, soft RP, working class, specifically West Coast, Devon, Dorset, Somerset, that kind of thing there, yeah. But a Cockney will be fine for the audition. It was a terrible Somerset accent. Auditions from BIPOC performers are encouraged. Now, if you want to audition, just submit a self-tape with a headshot and resume to Sarah Rogers at sarahrogers28@gmail.com. Deadline for that is Friday, the 6th of November. And then if you want to look at some sides and character breakdowns and more information about that, go to unitedplayers.com/get involved. Now, the auditions will be either by Zoom or in person with all the COVID safety protocols in place. And if you need more information, you can go to unitedplayers.com/safety plan to find out about all those safety protocols. And if you want an email address for more questions, you can contact Joan at jbryans@telus.net. Metro Theatre is doing Happy Birthday by Beverly Cross. This is happening in January at the Metro Theatre, and the auditions are November 2nd and 3rd at the Metro Theatre, which is 1370 Southwest Marine Drive. They're looking for 3 female and 2 male actors, English accents preferred but not required. Auditions will be by appointment only, and you can find audition forms and sides at metrotheatre.com/auditions. Happy Birthday. You can print up the sides and bring them with you to the audition, and they encourage submissions from artists from a broad range of backgrounds, including but not limited to race, ethnicity, indigeneity, gender, body type, and sexuality, and they encourage anyone to audition for any role, as they'll be casting who's best for the role. And you can find out more by going to metrotheatre.com. And if you want details on these or other audition notices, you can go to vancouveractorsguide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you'd like read on the air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email us here at daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com.
It's our pledge drive here on NPR, and we have a 20-minute field recording of a tumluku, which is a Bosnian instrument which can only be played when you have a pierced scrotum and 3 kids who have been killed by a landmine. It's unlistenable radio! You understand me?
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Totally listenable radio.
So tomorrow's Halloween, and even though we've got the COVID protocols to observe, there's still stuff going on. The kiddies are out finding ways to beg for candy and still be safe. And of course, because it's Halloween, that gives me an excuse to play my song from the Halloweenies, the 1983 release. This is Tartan Haggis and Loch Ness Monster.
So everybody here knows about the Sasquatch.
That's the one.
And they know you're all hip to the giant octopus. But there's a whole new pair of living down by the glen. He gaggles and he fumbles and he twists and he bends. He is a monster. The Loch Ness Monster.
The Loch Ness.
So I know everybody here knows about the Yeti.
Oh.
You know he's hairy and he's cold and he likes to eat spaghetti.
everybody here is hurt, the bendy go go go. You know, I saw that he swallowed a whole family, complete with their own boys. So when you see that flutter and you hear them bubbles, I'll tell you they know that you're in for lots of trouble with the monster. Call on this monster. He is a monster.
So that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Music today was by Subterranean Lovers, Veda Hilly, Laverne, Elastic Stars, Summer Eyes, Haley Blaze, and Tartan Haggis. Remember, if you want to keep in the know about theater happenings and not happenings in these wacky times, check out TheaterWire, createastir.ca, and Colin Thomas's Fresh Sheet. And if you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at citr.ca. You can also find us on player.fm. And remember to like, share, and subscribe because Sharon deserves it. Stick around. Audrey's up next with Too Dreamy, followed by Beppe Crespin at 2, and our very own star on the BC Entertainment Walk of Fame, Nardwar the Human Serviette at 3:30. Dave Radio will return next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy Halloween.
CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Flying near, is it her harmonies we hear that keep?
us going. But hey, I can see her dancing. Sweet pastel purple, sweet, sweet lady glow. And hey, would you
was leading.